coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. As always, we'll start out with Inside Skip's Brain. I'll tell you what is going on in my life, because I lead a pretty good life. And then we'll do the news, some crazy self-defense news out there today. And then also in segments 2 and 3, we are going to speak with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek. Joel's a good friend of mine. He has been on the show many times. Very interesting guy, very jovial. I like his sense of humor, and his energy level is like off the charts. But we're going to be speaking about a new book that came out just this last year. It's by Michael Martin from United States Concealed Carry Association, and they have a brand new curriculum called Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. That's really big right now. It's in the news because, well, Sutherland Springs, Texas, Las Vegas shooter, all of these mass shooting threats that are out there, they're on the rise, and I am very impressed with this new curriculum. I'll be teaching that for Midwest Tactical Training and also for the Barry County Sheriff's Auxiliary. So we're going to talk about that in segments 2 and 3 and have a very good discussion with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. And then, of course, in segment 4, we'll do the wrap-up, and, you know, we're going to talk about courage in segment 4, and I'll tell you what I really think. But what's going on inside Skip's brain? Boy, my life, I tell you, I got a good life. I got a good family. I got 3 little kids at home. I got a wife who loves me. And there was a time in my life I thought, man, I'll never be able to say that. But hey, third time's a charm, I guess. So yeah, Sarah and I were getting along just fine. The weather has been deathly, deathly cold. My firewood is running low. I thought for sure I had enough firewood to last through the whole winter because we heat primarily from wood. And I had a bunch of ash and some cherry there. Boy, I had the woodshed totally full. But I'm going to have to delve into my reserves here probably in another 2 or 3 weeks. And my reserves, it's not hardwood. It's box elder. And if you know box elder, well, it's better than balsa wood, but not by a whole lot. So I think what's going to happen is we'll make it up into March, and then we're going to run out of wood, and I've got to decide, do I want to venture out in the woods to get some more, or do I just turn on the furnace? I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I re-injured my back a little this past week. You know, like an idiot lifting a bag of chicken feed. Why do I do these stupid things? I don't know. But it's getting better. We'll revisit that. It's warming up now. We have got, oh man, over the next 10 days, it's going to be up into the 20s, 30s, and even low 40s. I'm looking forward to that. This past Saturday, I was on the range, and it was like 14, 15 degrees. Froze my butt off. But hey, we got the training done, people had fun, and we did it in a way where they didn't freeze to death. In about 10 days, I'll be on the range again, and the long-term forecast says, hey, I could be there on the range in like 35 degrees. That's like Hawaiian shirt weather. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, now let's go ahead and let's delve into the news here. There's a lot going on in the country right now. I've headed out to the Daily Caller, dailycaller.com, and it says, insider reveals upcoming White House concealed carry meeting. And that is good for me. We're talking about H.R. 38, right? That national reciprocity bill that's been stalled in the House for a long, long time. It says, Republican North Carolina Representative Richard Hudson believes law-abiding Americans should be allowed to carry their concealed weapons in every state. And he's hoping the White House will help him soon make that a reality. And that's certainly my hope as well. Quote, I can tell you the president's ready to sign this law, Hudson told the Daily Caller Wednesday in an exclusive interview on the subject for the D.C.'s Newsmakers series. President Trump actually campaigned on concealed carry reciprocity, the Republican recalled. We've got a partner in the White House, and we just got to get it on his desk. Yeah, well, that's the challenge, isn't it? Hudson introduced the House version of the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act on January 3, 2017. Folks, that's over a year ago. And the bill finally passed on December 6th. Hudson says he spoke with the president at the time and is set to meet with Trump's staff this coming week. Good news. Quote, I spoke to Trump very briefly in December, and I've been talking with his staff, Hudson revealed. I've got a meeting actually next week over there to see what we can do together to help continue the momentum coming off this House vote. All right. Currently, concealed carry reciprocity is handled individually by each state. Virginia, for instance, respects concealed carry permits issued by 25 other states. And I know Michigan respects everyone else's, all 50. But some states don't look kindly on Americans who carry firearms through their jurisdiction. Boy, you got that right. Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Connecticut. Oh, nasty places to be. Quote, hopefully I'll be at the White House next to Trump signing this bill. All right. That is good news for everyone. We will follow that story closely for you because it's certainly important to every gun owner in America. Okay, what else do we have? Going over, oh, this is from mlive.com. Headline reads, this is out of Detroit. Detroit fire captain who accidentally shot self in groin getting better. Well, that's good news. Good news for the fire department captain. We want him out there putting out fires as quickly as possible. A 29-year veteran Detroit fire department captain has been upgraded from critical condition after accidentally shooting himself in the groin about 9:40 p.m. on January 15. He's progressing and his family is with him. But it came pretty close, said Deputy. Oh, I bet it did. But it came pretty close, said Deputy Detroit Fire Commissioner Dave Fornell. He's still in the ICU, but he's getting better. Can you imagine how embarrassing that is for this man? And for his family. I mean, his wife is out there and so, well, Betty, what happened to your husband? I saw he was on his, he shot himself in the Johnson and he's recovering. I shouldn't laugh at that because it wouldn't be funny. It's only funny because someone else did it. Boy, if that happened to me, it would not be funny at all. Detroit police say the firefighter was on the porch of his home attempting to holster his handgun when it discharged, striking him in the groin area. That's amazing how when people write these stories, they didn't say that the firefighter discharged his gun. The handgun discharged, like all by itself, despite the fact that all guns are always loaded and you should always have your finger off the trigger until you made a decision to shoot. Attempting to holster his handgun when it magically discharged. Folks, it's predictable. It's not an accidental discharge. It's a negligent discharge. When you neglect to follow one of the rules, the gun will go off when you don't want it to. Police have ruled the shooting accidental and say there is no ongoing criminal investigation. You know, I had a friend of mine who did something similar. You know, it wasn't a groin shot, but, you know, he neglected one of the safety rules, shot himself in the hand. He lived inside the city, like this gentleman, and it was a smaller city. And, boy, he went to the emergency room to have his hand treated. The police came and arrested him. And he's like 70 years old. He has COPD, and he's on an oxygen tank. And they took him to the county jail on an oxygen tank. And he had spent time in jail. You know, eventually the city was shamed into dropping the charges against him. But, you know, quite frankly, I really don't think this firefighter should be charged with anything. Even though, okay, yeah, he did something stupid. You know, he shot himself in the groin. Don't you think he's suffered enough? The punishment is already inside the crime. If this was a crime, he punished himself. And, you know, it's just, it's the way it is, folks. Now, sometimes these, the funniest part about these articles are some of the comments. You know, I'm reading through some of these comments. One guy says, I hope he is better with a hose than a gun. I mean, oh, time for him to retire and take a gun safety class. Well, yeah, that's true. And that whole hose comment, you can take that different ways. Oh, here's another one. Good thing Barney only had one bullet. What is this one? Oh, here's one that says, so are they calling him a hardened criminal? I don't even know what that means, and we're not going to go in. Oh, here's another one. Very short and sweet. I hear he's half nuts now. All right. You know, these comments are not very understanding. This is a tough room here on MLive. Wow. Well, we don't know the details about it, but hey, it is what it is. And yeah, he screwed up. And hey, if you handled firearms long enough, you might make a mistake someday too, but certainly try not to. Have good muscle memory, and do not, I repeat, do not do stupid things. We do not want my listeners to become future Darwin Award recipients. Okay, that's about all the time we have for On the News, but folks, I am excited about the next two segments. We have got Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms Gun Store and Indoor Gun Range in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel's been on many times. We're going to be talking about mass shooters. In specific, the United States Concealed Carry Association has a new course with a new book called Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. I've got it right here in my hands. I've taken the course, the instructor course. I'm certified to teach it, and I'm going to be teaching these classes with pride to all my Midwest Tactical students, as well as to Berry County Houses of Worship as well. So, we got a 2-minute break here. Go on out and check out Midwest Tactical Training. That's MWTAC.com, Michael Whiskey, Tango Alpha Charlie.com. Get some more training. And then also go to Amazon.com and check out my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book by yours truly, Skip Coriel. All right, you got 2 minutes. Hurry up, do all that. Check out our sponsors as well. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are going to talk about some great stuff here today. Countering the mass shooter threat, and we are going to be speaking with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. Joel, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Good morning, Skip. Great to be back on with you.
You know, Joel, I just love having you on the show because you are just always so excited about what you do, and you're peppy, you're jovial. You're funny. I don't even have to pretend to laugh at your jokes because I really do laugh at your jokes. You're a funny guy.
It's awesome. I appreciate it. In fact, somebody told me the other day, they were sitting at a table with me and said, you're just a fun guy to be around. I said, you know what? If that's the only thing people remember about me when I'm dead, I'm going to be a happy man.
Well, you know, another word for fun guy would be fungi. And, you know,
right.
And they, you know, that means they just keep you in the dark and feed you some bad stuff. But anyways, Joel, to the newcomers here on the Home Defense Show, just talk a little bit about yourself, about your business. What makes you Joel Fulton?
Sure. My brother Jared and I started Freedom Firearms Southside Sportsman Club close to 16 years ago now. And that was back in the day when gun shops pretty much were just gun shops. They didn't really have a range attached to them. We kind of led the way in that. It's now becoming more and more the model where firearm shops have ranges attached to them. It makes for a much better customer experience as far as shopping for a firearm. A lot of us, especially in more urban areas, didn't grow up around firearms. Those of us that have grown up around firearms, it's been more so long guns rather than handguns. And with personal defense taking the nation by storm and shall issue concealed carry and now constitutional carry, the driver in the market of firearms really is personal protection handguns. A lot of people need a little bit of extra training on that and some understanding of how that operates, how that works. There's much more training available now than there was 16 years ago. It's been great to be at the forefront of that and to have seen that evolve. And we've been really proud of what we've been able to do. I know you've been on the cutting edge of it in Barry County and done a lot of training. We've always had a mutual respect for each other. And it's always been a fun thing to do. And it's great to be able to do stuff that in the end keeps people aware of what's going on, and that simple awareness and being more aware of your surroundings, paying attention to what's going on around you, worst case scenario, keep you much more safe from evil around you and make it so hopefully you don't ever have to use that firearm to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Joel, you and I, we've had a lot of fun over the past 17, 18 years. We went to the Second Amendment March together. I mean, you helped organize that. It was fantastic. And, you know, you mentioned the model of having an indoor gun range attached to the gun store. And I really like that model because I have so many people come to my classes with guns that they've never shot before, and they get out there and they shoot it and it's not working for them because it's really someone sold them the wrong gun for them. But, you know, if they'd just taken it to your indoor gun range and shot a gun like that before they bought it, they would have known right away that, oh, this is not the gun I want. So you certainly perform a good service to the community, and you save people a lot of money by letting them, you know, rent a gun or something before they actually purchase it.
It's a major purchase, and I want to make sure that you're happy with that major purchase when you're walking out the door. I don't want you to walk out the door and then find out that you don't like it, and just like a car, you've driven it off a lot and lost 50% of its value.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, people who are shooting a gun with too much recoil or one that they're afraid of or they're just not successful with, a lot of those people, you know, if they're not properly nurtured, they can just say, oh, the heck with this. I don't want a gun anymore. And they can just go by the wayside. So, hey, it's a good thing.
And that's the other thing we get to do with the indoor range. The other thing we get to do with the indoor range is the actual training component of it, where during the buying process, I can teach them how to properly hold the firearm, how to properly manage recoil. So it's not as scary or it's not as intimidating when they shoot it for the first time by themselves. Instead, they've already shot with a trained instructor out there on the range during the purchasing process.
Well, and Joel, I just came off the gun range just past Saturday. And I got to tell you, one of the nicest things about an indoor range is the temperature.
You ain't lying, brother.
Your old bones are getting
too old to be cold.
Well, that's exactly true. I mean, I turned 60 this year, and I tell you, it used to be I could go out on the gun range for, you know, 3-4 hours in 10-degree weather, and sure, I would get cold, but then a half hour, you know, inside, and I'm ready to go again. Now it's like I'll get cold in November, and I won't get warm again until, like, May 1st. So it's...
Yeah, now you don't even, like, turn off your heater just to do the show because it's cold where you're at.
You are exactly right. You're exactly right.
Well, I'll let you guys enjoy that warm weather, and I'll enjoy some warm weather in Vegas at SHOT Show next week.
Ah, yeah. You know, I am not going to be at SHOT Show this year. for a lot of different reasons. You know, I don't like to travel as much as you do anyways. You're just kind of a out on the edge fun guy, as you said. And I'm more of a homebody. You know, I like coming here into my office. I like working. I still have three little kids at home, and that might be a little different for you if you had still had little kids at home, because you just, I don't like leaving my wife and my kids, but sometimes you got to do it. I'll probably do it next year. Anyways, I hope you have a good time there at SHOT Show, and while you're there, make sure you go over to Radio Alley, say hello to Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. And then talk to Rob Pincus, a mutual friend of both of ours. And then head on over to Crossbreed Holsters booth and speak with Carol. You know, that woman, God bless her. She was on the show a couple of months ago, and she told the whole story of Crossbreed Holsters and her husband. It's very, very touching. And that woman, she sent me a brand new holster for free, appendix carry inside the waistband. And she didn't have to do that. Oh, yeah. I didn't know she was doing that, and it was just fantastic. So give her my heartfelt thanks, and we'll definitely have her on the show again.
Definitely will.
Joel, we were talking about training. You mentioned that. You turned me on to a training course. You know, both you and I, we are USCCA certified instructors. We got our instructorship a couple of years ago together. And that was awesome. It's always good to train with you. But then, about a week ago, you called me and said, hey, have you seen the Countering the Mass Shooter Threat toolkit by United States Concealed Carry Association? And I had not. Boy, you gave it really high marks. So I got off the phone. I called him up. I ordered my toolkit. It came. I read the book. I watched the PowerPoint. I did the e-learning and took the test and all that stuff. And I got to tell you, Joel, I think I am as impressed with this curriculum as you are.
Yeah, I got the book. They actually didn't have the PowerPoint or anything out yet. I got the book this last year, and the guy that does a lot of their material, writes a lot of their material, Michael Martin, following Sandy Hook, really kind of went on a mission because he was concerned with the fact that we were just simply trying to blame the firearm rather than trying to actually find viable solutions that would work with trying to keep our kids safer. And not just our kids, but anywhere where there's large gathering places of people. The federal government has defined an active shooter as an individual actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a confined and populated area. And while violent crime in the United States is at 30-year lows, I mean, really 30-year lows, and that really is a testament to how effective arming, you know, private citizens for personal defense has become in the United States. Mm-hmm. And driving down violent crime. The problem is that the frequency of these mass shootings has increased over the years. And it begs the question, how does this happen? If violent crime overall is dropping, why is it that these mass shootings are increasing? And so I like the fact that this program really delves into the psychology of these mass killers, what drives them, because until we understand what's driving these mass killers, it's going to be difficult to stop or prevent them. They point out one of the things that really stuck out to me was traditionally they've done surveys of kids in school and asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's the advent of social media and reality TV and all these kind of things that are inundating our society. It used to be that kids would invariably say, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. All those top end things that kids dream about. This is what I'd like to do with the rest of my life. I want to help people. I want to do this or that or the other thing. And now the number one thing that kids say that they want to be when they grow up is they want to be famous.
Yeah.
They just want to be famous. Famous or infamous, it equates to the same thing for them. And these mass shootings are a way to get instant fame.
I read in there where Michael had said there was some doctor from UCLA, I think, had done a multi-year study. And prior to 2008, kids valued family. But after 2008, basically, they didn't value family so much. They just wanted to be famous, you know, like you were saying. And he talked about the correlation with growth of social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all that stuff. And boy, I tell you, it's kind of scary. There can be a kid who isn't doing well, he's not succeeding socially, academically, anything like that, and he's at risk because he's failing in life, and he wants to feel like he's successful, and he thinks, oh, well, I can be famous overnight simply by going out and killing as many people as I possibly can. And boy, don't you think that speaks to, I don't know, maybe our culture in general? Because it certainly didn't used to be that way.
No, and I think we do have a culture that there's this feeling of despondency and despair, a lack of hope. And we all know that where there is no vision, the people die. We don't have that America's best days are ahead of us anymore. So I think a lot of that translates, especially when you're in a situation like we have been recently in the last decade, kind of a perfect storm where it's a depressed economy, so there's not a lot of hope. And one of the things that you just said, you referenced success. That really is probably one of the key factors in deterring these kind of events from happening. Some people go, look, guns in the hands of private law-abiding citizens are not going to stop these kind of events because the mass killers that do it invariably commit suicide or they're killed in the end by police, and that's what they want anyway. They're not afraid of dying. You're absolutely correct. They're not afraid of dying. But they do have the same universal fear that we all have. And the same universal fear that we all have, whether it's Skip and Joel going out on the range and shooting targets in front of Rob Pincus, or whether it is you doing a radio show, no matter what, the one thing you fear more than anything else is the fear of failure. You don't want to fail. And these mass killers, what they view as success is a body count. And they don't want to fail. I can put in measures that reasonably assure their failure, whether that be a gun in the hands of a private law-abiding citizen, whether it be locking doors, whether it be cameras, whether it be metal detectors, all these layers of security that I can build in, and I can assure that they will fail at their attempt, then their fear of failure will stop them from attempting to do what they want to do.
Absolutely. I'm going to cut you off right there, Joel, because that is a good place to end it, and we're out of time for this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk more about ways of countering the mass shooter threat and how we can ensure that they fail, or better yet, they don't even attempt it. So, you got 2 minutes, folks. Go out and check out our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and then check out ElitefirearmsandTraining.us and how you can help protect your family. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend.
Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We are back with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan, and we are speaking about countering the mass shooter threat, specifically the United States Concealed Carry Association curriculum of that name. Joel, we were talking about failure. It's what they fear the most. What happens when they realize that they are going to fail?
And that's just it. I want to make myself a harder target. And they'll go pick on something else. So this is going to be one of those cases where we definitely want to compete with the Joneses, right? We want to make sure that we are creating spaces that are hard targets. We don't want to be soft targets. Any place there are large gatherings of people are going to become targets. The objective is to make it a hard target, not a soft target. We're talking about common, ordinary gatherings, such as our houses of worship, our schools. So places where we want them to be friendly and inviting, right? But at the same time, we need to make it a hard target. Look, locked doors.
Yeah.
Let's just start at the basic. Locked doors. I don't want anybody being able to gain entry except through the main spot where I can monitor it. Ushers. One of the things I often tell people is smiles, right? Make sure you wear smiles. Smiles are disarming. It is hard to do bad things to good people. It is much easier to justify doing something bad to somebody if you think they're kind of a butthole for, I think, can we say that on,
I guess we can.
What the seven deadly words are on radio.
Go for it, Joel. I've said worse.
Well, you're a Marine. I figure you've heard worse.
That's right.
You get the gist. If it's a bad person, it's easier to justify doing bad things to them.
Mm-hmm.
So be friendly, be inviting, but at the same time, you have to have a plan. You have to recognize things in people or behaviors that are out of place and recognize whether they belong there or don't belong there. And I think that's probably one of the first steps. Locking doors certainly helps. Having a plan, and everybody needs to know what that plan is for run, hide, fight. If something bad starts happening, get out of the area.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to scatter to the wind and get out. And everybody needs to know what their role is. Everybody needs to know what the job is. So if you've got a security team, each member of that security team needs to know whose job it is today to make sure people are getting out the back end of the sanctuary or the front end of the sanctuary, wherever that happens to be, and getting them into a room that can be defended easily.
Yeah.
We need to know, do we have our room set up? Do we have medical emergency supplies in that? One of the things that struck home to me about the Las Vegas situation where we had probably our largest mass shooting that occurred. Usually a mass shooting or some sort of a traumatic event will spur gun sales and move things forward. And it did not, in this area, move things forward because everybody recognized that personal defense handgun would not have done you any good in that situation. Zero.
Yeah, it's true.
But what I tried to start telling people is, look, I give you these skills and I give you this tool to try and protect your life, but it's really a skill where you're kind of making a choice. I'm potentially taking somebody's life to save mine.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be much better to be trained in the skills of first aid and be able to save lives in that situation? Your handgun did you zero good, but after the shooting had stopped, if you could have gone back and used tourniquets and had first aid experience and been able to save those lives, we probably would have had less dead in that situation. There's not enough professional trained medical help to handle that kind of a mass casualty situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take trained citizens. We got to start training ourselves and being prepared in those situations. And that's true if it's going to be at your church or at your school. You need to have just basic life-saving skills to know how to apply a tourniquet, when it's appropriate to apply a tourniquet. What about a sucking chest wound? Do you know how to do that so that you can at least get those extra 15, 20 minutes where I can get somebody some attention through triage and save lives?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, on the Countering the Mass Shooter Threat curriculum, the last chapter in the book was about, you know, first aid skills and, you know, tourniquets and everything that you just mentioned. You know, I think a lot of people, they don't understand that if you get a concealed pistol license, you're not just learning how to shoot a gun. That's part of it. but it's not all of it. You're learning, you know, all the softer related stuff like, you know, situational awareness and warrior mindset and tactical things like how do you conduct yourself when you're out in public with other people and all of these things. It's a life skill that you can learn from a regular concealed carry class. So what else impressed you with countering the mass shooter threat?
It reinforced some of the things that I know good instructors already teach. I think there's misconceptions in our law enforcement community, first of all. I think a lot of our law enforcement community sometimes views CPL holders as vigilantes, as, you know, going to be confusing in a situation because they're not going to be able to tell the good guys from the bad guys because we're going to have CPL holders running around with guns. And that's certainly not the case in my situation. It's certainly not the case in your teaching or my teaching. I'm fairly confident most respectable instructors are teaching people, you're not a junior police officer. You don't have a badge. It is not your job to save anyone other than you and your immediate family members. It's the only thing you're responsible for. Don't go out there and try and play John Wayne or nothing against John Wayne. Let's have a moment of silence. Thank you very much. It's just not our job. It's our job to protect us, which means I'm going to form a bubble of security. Whatever room I'm hunkered down in, wherever it is that I have found cover, wherever it is that I have stationed up and said, okay, this is where I make my stand. Mm-hmm. I'm going to protect that bubble. Now, if you happen to be unarmed and you happen to be behind me and you happen to be in my bubble, then by virtue of me saving me, I end up saving you.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that it is not my job, nor is it my purpose to save you. I am saving me. I'm not really capable of doing much more than that because it could be confusing to law enforcement if I'm running around trying to catch bad guys.
Right.
Not my job. I'm not in uniform. It's not my job.
Yeah, that's true. That would be like out on the mall or someplace out in public. Now, obviously, if you're like part of a church safety team and you've got a shirt on the back with security and that kind of a situation, your job is to go to protect other people because you've signed on
and
for
that.
In that
situation, it's a coordinated effort.
Yeah.
We've got a plan and we have a coordinated effort. And that really, as you point out, that skip goes to some more stuff that's in the countering the mass shooter threat. Is probably one of the biggest things that makes a difference in a mass shooter situation and who gets killed, who doesn't kill, is the resistance of the victims.
Oh, yeah.
Just sit there and wait to be shot are probably going to get shot or killed.
Yeah.
And we saw that especially at the Virginia Tech shooting. They go through that in detail in the countering the mass shooter threat about which rooms and what kind of security they tried to put in place on the fly. In other words, blocking the doors. One professor blocked the door with his body. To me, that's a love for what you do. That is a love of your students to be able to put yourself in that situation, recognizing that you're about to die, and yet you're going to put your body between your students and the mass killer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's no greater love than that.
Yep.
How much better to be able to have locking door mechanisms or something that you could automatically hit a button that electromagnetically locks your door immediately? How about foggers outside the door that deprive your attacker of sight or being able to see what's going on around them? These things can help produce the time that's needed for professional response teams to get there, while at the same time keeping him from getting to you. And quite frankly, they don't want to take the time. Mass shooters, they want a body count as fast as they can get it. They know they've only got 5 to 9 minutes. So they know that they're on a time schedule. And if they have to work at all to try and get it through a door or get through a locked barrier, they'll just get frustrated and go to the next barrier.
Yeah, it's like they don't mind taking their life, ending their life, but they don't want to waste it. And if they go there and they can't kill a lot of people, then they have wasted their life and therefore they failed, like we were talking about earlier. And that whole Virginia Tech study inside this book, Countering the Mass Shooter Threat, boy, they broke it down room by room, and it was a real eye-opener. It was just really awesome. You know, Joel, one thing that really struck me as funny and sad at the same time, when Michael Martin in the book, he's talking about Run, Hide, Fight, and that's U.S. Department of Homeland Security. That's what they're advocating and teaching. But in Europe, they don't teach run, hide, fight. They teach run, hide, and report.
What is up with that?
Well, they simply don't have the tools, right? They don't have that last tool of fight.
Yeah.
They don't have that last tool. What we have, well, I mean, we have firearms. We have knives. I mean, they're not even allowed to have pointy knives in England anymore. We have tools that let us fight more effectively. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't fight, but we just get to do it more effectively. We're a much more effective fighting force when you have tools.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're talking about somebody who's amped up on whatever they're amped up on, as well as the adrenaline they're already amped up on, they're a much more effective fighter, especially if you've got weaker subjects, such as small children, hand-to-hand, typically you're going to lose. So fighting doesn't become as much of an option for our European friends. I wish they had more of a mindset and an attitude of fight. They simply don't.
Well, Joel, I think when you've been disarmed for so long, you end up not being just disarmed physically, as in the hardware isn't available to you, but it also disarms your mentality, and you kind of lose that warrior mindset after the government saying, yeah, you can't protect yourself. You just have to run and hide and call us and we'll take care of it for you. That just doesn't make any sense to me. But hey, I'm American. What do I know, right? Joel, we are about out of time for this segment here, but I highly recommend Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. I showed this book to Sheriff Darleaf, and he read the whole thing, and he called me up, and he says, okay, yeah, this is what we want to teach through Berry County Sheriff's Office. So I will be hitting you up to go out with me in Berry County, and you are going to help me teach this class.
I'd be delighted.
Go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of you at Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Sure, you can call us at 269-968-4229. You can visit us at 539 Capitol Avenue Southwest in Battle Creek, Michigan, or you can find us online at www.freedomfirearms.biz, biz. Happy to have you shop online. Love to have you come in and shoot at the range, especially as it grows colder. And in the summertime, look, we cool the thing too. So, you know, if you don't want to have flies and all that kind of stuff flying around your head and sweating your hind end off and walking down range to change targets, look, automatic retrieval system is nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joel, when I was younger, I would always counter someone by saying, you know, real men don't need warmth. But now that I'm a little older, I really do need warmth. But Joel, it's been great having you on the show. You are very knowledgeable. I like having you on. And we will have you on again next month. And maybe you can tell us about all the new stuff out there that you saw at the SHOT Show. Sound good?
It sounds good to me.
All right, Joel, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thanks, Skip. Always good to be here.
In the next 2 minutes, go ahead and check out firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and then check out elitefirearms.us. And also, check out Joel Fulton, Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. You can Google that and you get all kinds of good stuff on him. Okay, folks, this is Skip Quirrell on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my Dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. It's your host, Skip Coriel. Wonderful segments 2 and 3 with Joel Fulton from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek, Michigan. I love that guy. He's a good brother. And, hey, he can sit by my fire anytime. Okay, let's talk about courage. You know, as Joel and I were talking, one of the things that kept coming to mind is that our society, America, is following Europe. Europe has run, hide, and report. America has run, hide, and fight, and it took us a while to get there. All of these mass shootings, the highest body counts, occurred when people hunkered down under their desk, hiding in the corner, all clumped together, and just waited for their turn to be murdered. That just blows me away. Folks, I cannot even wrap my head around that. So I was thinking about it this week, and, you know, I woke up, you know, in the middle of the night thinking about it. That happens to me. Hey, I'm a novelist. Sometimes I'll wake up at 2 a.m., and I've learned that when that happens, don't even bother going back to sleep until you get it out of your system and get it written down on paper. So I wrote this little essay on courage, and I think it's very, very appropriate. Ever since I was a child, I've been fascinated by heroes. Of course, a 10-year-old boy's idea of a hero is pretty much determined by what he sees on the television. Even back then, society was influenced greatly by Hollywood, and my young life back in the 60s was no exception. I loved John Wayne movies, and I grew up on a steady diet of them. Perhaps it was the toughness he exhibited or the way he stood up for what he believed in. I think John Wayne could open a door for a lady with his left hand while drawing lightning fast with his right to shoot a bad guy who was trying to ambush him. And then he'd be reholstered before the dead man hit the ground and the smoke cleared. The Duke would then kindly tip his hat to the lady and go about his day of righting wrongs and making the world a safer place for the innocent and those who didn't have the strength to stand up for themselves. But then throughout the 70s and 80s, society's idea of heroism changed. And then one day I woke up and realized that good guys and bad guys had a lot in common. It wasn't black and white anymore. The good guys were a little badder, and the bad guys were flat out evil. It seemed not even Superman was immune to the trend. Fast forward to today, and the good guys on TV don't seem all that good to me. They seem watered down, like a children's painting left out in the rain. I don't think today's culture would know a hero if he opened the door for them and politely tipped his hat. I did an online search of the world's greatest heroes just to get an idea on what our society valued, and I was severely disappointed. Did you know that Miley Ray Cyrus is a hero, adored by millions of young people for her courage to step out and shatter social norms? And all this time, I just thought she was a cheap tramp, out to make a quick buck by swinging naked on a giant ball and chain. And then there's Bruce Springsteen. Apparently, he's idolized by hundreds of millions by virtue of his talent and his great contribution to the arts. Personally, I don't like his voice. It sounds like a dump truck running over a bumpy gravel road. I looked up the world's greatest heroes on the internet and found an amazing list of humanity. People like Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Cyrus the Great, and none other than Kim Jong-un. And I thought to myself, what do these people have in common? And the answer was clear. They were great conquerors. They were very powerful. And they were responsible for inflicting pain, death, and destruction on humanity. They wanted to be famous and to control others, and they were willing to kill anyone who stood in their way. And I thought to myself,
Maybe I'm confused. Maybe this word hero doesn't mean what I think it means. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Noun. A person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. Example, he became a local hero when he saved the drowning child. So I took that definition and I bumped it up against Miley Ray Cyrus, and it just didn't add up. You can stretch that definition 8 ways to Sunday, you can torture it, you can run it through a wringer washer, but it still won't tell you that Miley Ray Cyrus is a hero. So, what's happened to our society? How did we get so far out of whack? To me, there seems to be an underlying base of selfishness that runs through our society. People are no longer interested in helping other people. Instead, they're focused on getting rich and famous. And fame and fortune aren't enough. They feel it's owed them. They're entitled. They have it coming to them simply because they exist. And as if that's not bad enough, we live in an instant society. Kids don't have to wait anymore. And the idea of working long and hard for something appalls them. They want money. They want fame. They want power. And they want it now. So what does any of this have to do with home defense? I think this societal breakdown has a lot to do with it. 2 things specifically. One, it has a direct correlation with the steady rise of mass shooting events since the year 2000. And here's why I say that. Most of the killers have demonstrated, either by their words or actions, that they want to be famous. But let's face it, not everyone has what it takes to be famous. After all, if everyone is famous, then no one's famous. To achieve notoriety, you need talent, hard work, luck, or a combination of all three. And even then, it takes a long time to achieve. But these days, anyone can achieve fame in the twinkling of an eye simply by grabbing a gun and executing 20 children at an elementary school. It takes no hard work. And since you plan on dying, there are no immediate visible consequences to your actions. In the book, Countering the Mass Shooter Threat by Michael Martin, I read the following. A competition to be the most talked about, the most reviled, and the most famous. That preoccupation with fame isn't something that's unique to mass shooters. It is part of a measurable societal shift among teens and preteens, documented by Dr. Yalda Yules, a child development researcher at UCLA. In a multi-year study, Dr. Yules interviewed teens and preteens, asking them to rank the values that they held most important. Prior to 2007, Dr. Yules found community and family near the top of the list. But by 2007, those values had dropped on the scale and fame had moved into the number one position. And two, our breakdown in society has a direct correlation in how people come to the aid of their fellow humans. We presently live in a society increasingly composed of narcissists who believe the sun rises and falls on their own desires. 20 years ago, if a woman was being beaten and raped publicly, people would come to her rescue. Now, many are more likely to use their phone to film it and put it on YouTube or Facebook in an effort to gain instant fame, likes, and views. That pervading attitude greatly affects the safety of yourself, your family, and your friends. The dictionary defines hero as a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. But I think it's more than that. True heroes, the best among us, are those people who rise above their own adversities, who think more highly of others than they do themselves, and who are willing to defend those who cannot defend themselves, even if it means they might get hurt or possibly even killed. Heroes are altruistic in nature, and there is very little altruism to be found in today's selfish society. Altruism, the principle or practice of unselfish concern for or devotion to the welfare of others. When altruism flourishes, then society moves forward in health and vigor in all aspects. The prime example would be the World War II generation. They were faced with evil tyranny and they fought voluntarily, many of them sacrificing their lives so that others would live. That's what a hero does. That's what defines him and motivates him to run towards gunshots in a mall instead of toward the exits with everyone else. I think a lot of people misunderstand courage. Because the best courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means, despite your fear, you've chosen to overcome that fear with action that is beneficial to others, even if it's not in your own best interest. When people choose to live in courage and altruism, then children, the sick, and the weak can live in relative safety. But when the opposite is true, then it's Katie bar the door, because every man is for themselves. I choose to live a life of courage, even though it sometimes scares the hell out of me. I hope you'll consider it as well. A wise person once said, "Greater love has no person than this, that they lay down their life for a friend." And that's the kind of world I want my children to live in. So pass the word and help make it happen. Folks, I so much want to pass on a world to my kids that's worth saving. You know, I don't want this European worldview where it's all about me. It's all about what's best for me. I don't care about you. And I see so many people getting their concealed carry licenses, and they don't want to help other people. They just want to help themselves. Now, granted, yeah, that is their only responsibility. That's what means most to them. But is that who we historically revere and hold up as heroes? The selfish people? It didn't used to be that way. And I would so much like for our society to once again hold up heroism as something to be sought after. I want my kids to want to be firefighters and policemen and astronauts and doctors, people who help others, who dedicate their entire lives to helping people who are in need, for defending the weak, helping the poor, protecting the innocent. That's what life is supposed to be about. True heroes. We are surrounded by heroes. Sure, someone who sacrifices his life to save an innocent person, they're a hero. The greatest kind of hero, because they made the supreme sacrifice. But what about the single mom who's raising her 3-year-old all by herself? That's a hero. She goes to work at 2 jobs, and she does her darndest to raise that child. That's a hero. What about the husband who stays with his wife and his family and guts it out in a job that he hates for 40 years simply because it's the right thing to do, because it's his responsibility? That's a hero. All of those people are heroes. They deserve our support, and they deserve to be admired. And certainly someone who runs towards the shots in the shopping mall is a hero. Now, the question of whether or not he's capable of taking on that mass shooter, that's another story. Folks, if you have the training, if you have the experience, if you have that warrior mindset, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, please help defend the innocent, the weak among us. If you don't have the training, get it. If you don't have the training, there's nothing from stopping you. There's nothing stopping you from getting that training. You need attitude, you need the skills, and you need the plan. You can get all of those things and more. Well, you know, I was going to talk about more, but sometimes I just get going, and these things just kind of flow out of me. But hey, what I want you to do is I want you to go on USCCA.com and check out this Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. It's a great book. I am going to be teaching that class. I will be teaching it at Fenville Rod and Gun Club. That's in Michigan over by the lakeshore between Allegan and Holland. The dates for that class, Countering the Mass Shooter Threat, is February 3rd, then again on March 17th, then on May 19th, and then on October 20th. Check that out. You can go to my website, MWTAC.com. That's Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com, and check out Midwest Tactical Training. We will be teaching United States Concealed Carry Association new curriculum, Countering the Mass Shooter Threat. Churches, schools, businesses, this is for you. Become a protector, a defender. It's a decision that you can respect. Wouldn't it be nice to go to bed at night feeling good about yourself, respecting yourself, because you are a protector and a defender? Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive.
Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!